Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And for this episode, we are speaking with Wildman Dan Tatarka and his wife, Terry Tatarka, who are the owners and operators of Wildman Dan's beer-centric bed and breakfast, which is a B&B with an on-site nano brewery nestled in Nelson County, Virginia. And Terry and Wildman Dan will be discussing their innkeeping story, how they are following their passion for all things beer, what makes a special guest experience, and much, much more. And Terry, Wildman Dan, and Steve, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks a lot for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our pleasure. Steve, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I wanted to make sure Dan was heard and that he's here and he's okay as well.
Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great.
He's wild as usual.
Yes. Well, we are wild about this podcast because Steve and I are also wild about beer. And this is going to be certainly a fun one. And we've gotten to know Terry and Wildman Dan through some prep calls and stuff. And they're wonderful people. And we're really excited to have them here today. And before we talk about Wildman Dan's beer-centric bed and breakfast, if you don't mind, Terry and Dan, tell us a little more about your backgrounds, how you all came to be innkeepers, and how you landed to where you are today.
So my background is 30 years hotels and restaurants. Chef, management, franchising, all of the above. And Dan's background is fiber optic engineering. And he became a home brewer and immediately, I think, what did you brew? 2-3 times?
Yeah, something like that. Several times. And then I went and...
Not more than 3 times. 3 home brews, and he's off to Siebel Brewing Institute in Chicago. It just spoke to his nature, right?
Yeah, my background, my science, my engineering. I just loved it. And I also love beer.
Yeah. I don't mind. Nice. I got a great brewer for a reason.
So I went out to search is how do you make... I just want to be able to make good beer.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, gosh.
10 years ago.
10 years. Right. Nice. That you started brewing or went to Siebel, right? And then... You know, he's brewing and we joined a homebrew club and we met fantastic, like-minded people, you know, all brewing in each other's basement all over town. And we just camaraderie, a passion for beer. Then you did what? Become a beer judge? Certified?
Yeah, right. Became a beer judge. After Siebel, I also took chemistry of beer. And then through that club, we got together and we learned how to be professional certified beer judges.
So I just want to paint a picture for you. An evening with 6 men around my kitchen table and about 40 different kinds and styles of beer. And they're all studying.
We were.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. We're studying. This is hard work, honey.
You know, part of the program is knowing all the different styles, and there are commercial examples of all the styles. And what we would do is we would grab one or two of the styles and commercial examples and taste them to see how they lined up with the guidelines. Did we taste what the guidelines told you? It was interesting to try and catch all the flavors that's described and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the middle of all of this, I'm working in the, you know, food and beverage hospitality industry, and he's, you know, really getting into homebrew. I think when were you homebrew of the year? 2014, homebrew of the year. We book a trip to hike the Inca Trail in Peru. So we're hiking this trail and we're up at a high peak, and Dan looks at me and says, I want to retire and brew beer.
Of course, we were at high altitude, low oxygen.
Yeah. Well, I tell people I agree with you.
Best place to make a decision.
Because I just went, okay. You know, I didn't even question it. And heck, we started writing business plans and trying to think about how to make it happen. And then we found this property when?
The end of that year.
The end of that year. So, you know, December 2014, we find a property on the Blue Ridge Trail in Nelson County, and also right off the Blue Ridge Parkway in the mountains, with two wells on the property and perfect pH water coming out of the ground, and an old 1870 farmhouse with a 1900s Coca-Cola barn. And we fell in love with the space. It provided everything we needed to initiate a bed and breakfast, get that up and running, and allow the bed and breakfast to fund his brewing transition from his work, career, retirement, and now into brewer.
That's great. What a wonderful
story. I sat down enough, I think.
That's great. Yeah, well, tell us a bit more about the property, the inn itself. And I know you're doing some renovations as well.
Oh, constantly, right? 1870 farmhouse, the interior, the middle center section of this old farmhouse, handmade bricks from clay on site, pin and post, you know, beams in the attic, hand-hewn floors. It's just fantastic. And we've refurbished it and kept as much authentic as we could.
In the 1900s, the barn, brew barn, which is really cool. It's all metal on the outside and the oak on the inside. Cement floor that was hand-poured with the date April 16th, 1935, hand-scratched into it.
That's cool.
And then the outside of it, you know, there was a program for farmers that Coca-Cola would come and paint your barn. And it's the last thing you got to do. And that's why when you drive in the middle of Kansas, you'll see a Coca-Cola barn out there.
Or like the old mail pouch.
Yes, or the old mail pouch, exactly.
Right. And yeah, so, really cool.
Yeah, so we've got one of those, you know, with the Coca-Cola red barn painted. And that's our brew space.
I was going to ask the farmhouse, five rooms, is that right?
So the farmhouse, 1887 until the 50s, was the post office and a beauty parlor.
Wow, that's cool.
Isn't that cool? So it had this extended suite on the side that was the beauty parlor. I think initially it was an old, maybe a balcony, you know, porch or something, and then closed in. So we renovated that section, the old beauty parlor, and that is our space.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Directly behind the kitchen. Now, the walls from this thing are 15 inches thick, double level of this handmade brick. So it's natural soundproofing through the entire center of the house, which is fantastic for us and for guests. And we're right behind the kitchen. And then I have a full second chef's kitchen pastry room down in the basement area, a whole full separate room. And then we have five separate rooms for guests of the B&B.
That sounds great. Yeah. And so I know you're renovating the barn, the Coca-Cola barn that you've been brewing in, but you're doing some bigger things for usage with that barn down the road. Is that right?
That is correct. Tell them about the second floor.
What we did was we got cut poplar from a local lumber mill. And we're in between the beams. So you see the rafters that were left over from the old barn. So whole thing's decked out in wood and it's insulated behind it. So it's all good usable space, heating and air conditioned space up there. And it's pretty large because it covers the whole barn. Downstairs, there's actually two sections, one where I brew and then like a smaller tap room. But over that is this whole large room.
Yeah. What's the square footage up there? I think it seats about 50 people.
It's 1,200 square feet.
1,200 square feet. But it's open all the way to the peak of the barn. And then we have the old hay bale doors stacked that can open up for that space.
Wow, that's cool. So that's going to be space you're hoping to for people to be able to come beyond. Because talk a little bit about your brewing license and how that's come about and what you're working on there, because that space you're hoping to use for people to come in to use it beyond, I guess, just a big tasting area, I guess, is what you're envisioning. Is that right?
Right. So our growth has been kind of drawn by just what has happened in and around us. You know, initially we bought the property to be a bed and breakfast and home brewers, and we were going to retire and be happy with that. And then the state of Virginia, within a year of us opening, made a change in the law so that home brewers could not share their beer with short-term lodging. So we had to make a decision, and then we became the smallest production brewery in the state of Virginia with the right to brew beer, sell kegs, sell experiences, and then also serve the guest of our B&B. That being said, we weren't open to the general public. Then the next little glitch in our plan was COVID. So when our B&B shut down, and all the bars shut down, our tap room wasn't open to the public. So we were complete, every revenue source that we had was shut down, which made us reconsider that maybe we should be open to the public, or at least have the right to be. So we applied for a zoning change in February. We'll get a final vote on it in October 18th.
Nice.
Little drawn out because of course, COVID.
Yeah. Now you do, or you had been, I thought maybe, I don't know if I saw it on the website or maybe your Facebook page, but you are allowed to sell, like people can come up, you have like a window where people can come up to buy.
Right.
From you, is that right?
Yes. And that happened, I think, right, several weeks into COVID. And it was kind of a quick patchwork thing for all breweries that they could sell to-go beer. And so we're not really open to the general public, but we're allowed to sell to-go beer. And those are 32-ounce can crowlers.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Right.
Nice.
So it was very nice. That being said, when we went to order a crowler, the manufacturers were back-ordered, backlogged because of brewery in the country, crowler to sell to go beer. So we got our crowler, what, like 2 months ago?
July.
Yeah, we got our crowler in July.
I thought maybe you were going to say that Dan took up blowing glass and came out.
I know. We thought about how do we do this? how do we do this? Yeah. I know, right? I mean, it's crazy times, and we're just, like everybody, trying to navigate it. And, you know, we go one direction, then we swerve back another direction. But, oh my gosh, we love where we are. We love what we're doing. I got to tell you this. If he didn't brew incredibly fantastic beer, do you think I would have said yes, whether in or not, on that mountain? No. If he had terrible beer, I would have just gone, no, that's not, yeah.
What? No, you're just not good enough of a brewer.
You're just not good enough, buddy, right?
Go back to school. Right. Talk about some of the other stuff that you all have done, like with your guests in the past, you know, and what you might do in the future, or what you offer to guests, and how you tie the whole beer thing in with that. Like you do some special things, you know, either requested by them or maybe kind of offered up as a package or whatever. What kind of stuff do you do that's, since it is a beer-centric B&B, what kind of stuff have you done with guests that revolves around the beer?
One of the things we've done is we've actually brewed beer. Since I have a small system, I could brew beer with guests. And they can come out, have a brew day, come up with a recipe. I'll work on a recipe with them. We'll brew it, and if they want to name the recipe, I'll submit the name and get it approved, so they'll have their own name beer, and then we can turn around and sell them the keg of beer. Now, we've done this for weddings and birthdays and people just wanting special events, so they'll spend the weekend here, and they'll buy the keg that they helped brew.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
How long before they can drink the keg? Like if it's for a wedding, is it for like the next, they have to be there the weekend before and do it or what?
No, I tell them, try and give it 2 months.
2 months. Wow. Okay.
Well, you got a month of fermentation and then you got a month you want it to let it sit for a little bit to just get that proper aging and peakness of a delicious beer. Just takes a little bit longer. You know, it goes through this curve of it. It gets better and better and better before it starts going over the hill. And that's good for a long time. And then beer gets old. It gets old, you know.
Right.
Never happens here. We never get to that old beer.
We don't have any beer left. All gone before it never gets to get old.
But if you give them a 2 month window, by the time the wedding comes or the event comes, it's just fantastic.
So, and you brew every day throughout the week, pretty much, right? So like what you brewed today, you were talking right before we hit the record button, you were doing a Pilsner today. So you're not going to drink that for another couple months?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's correct. So you've got to be really on it, right?
Yeah, you turn your beers and be on the seasons.
You must have a huge walk-in refrigerator to put all of your brews in, right?
Well, we call it the crooked room.
The what? The crooked room?
Yeah, we call it the crooked room. So One thing you'll find out quick in a 1900s barn, there's nothing level.
Yeah.
Right? And so trying to build out this refrigeration room, you know, you had, you know, from corner to corner, more than 5-6 inches difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so after we built it out, I put crooked room on the top of it. So that's where we at. Yeah. That's where the beer's fermenting and refrigerated is in
And it's usually you're doing 10-gallon batches. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what do you put it in and how does that compare to what's a keg? Well, what we call a keg is really a half keg, right? But
a keg is a half a barrel.
Half a barrel. Okay.
So a keg is 15.5 gallons.
15.5. Okay. Okay, so you're about 3/4 or 2/3 of a keg, basically.
No, less than that. So a sixth of a keg is about 5 gallons. So I brew 2/6 of a keg or a third. Yeah, I guess it would be a third.
Not 2/3. Okay,
yeah, that sounds about right.
That's about right.
Okay.
Of a keg, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right on that.
Okay. Well, I have a little experience because we have a big party every year. Of course, we didn't do it this year in September. And trying to get, local microbrews and all that stuff, you have to get them in, you know, smaller amounts in order. And yeah, it's those, they look like the, well, from my days of working in restaurants and stuff, it looks like the old containers that you put the Coca-Cola syrup in, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing that we wished that we could do when you're a home brewer, you know, you dream of having one of your beers on tap at your local bar or your haunt. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so home brewers that are progressing and they've really, you know, perfected a recipe, but there's no avenue to do that, right? We are an avenue that can make that happen because we also have a distribution company.
Okay.
You can come, but now granted, this is within the state of Virginia, but you can come and brew your beer, name it, and then we can deliver it to your, you know, your local haunt.
That's awesome. That is cool.
On tap.
That is really cool.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
So, but you know, we have a lot of guests that stay with us that aren't necessarily all beer people.
You let them in?
We let them in. Dan asked me how do we avoid that, but we do let them in. There are 20 wineries, 4 distilleries, 4 cideries, and a meadery within 20-mile radius of our location in Nelson County.
Man, wow.
I know, right? And so when our guests check in, you know, we call it a hug and a beer. Now what we're doing is I meet you outside and I hug me and you hug you, right? There's a hug and then we go to the old brew barn, the cola barn, and have a welcome beer. After breakfast served at 9 and, you know, eggs Benny, but with a Chipotle hollandaise and my own house-made chorizo. And then you go to a beer class with Dan. It's all included in your booking. And it's a 45-minute learn about the off flavors of beer, how to detect it, and more importantly, how to make changes in your brewing process to correct off flavors.
That's pretty wrong. Every day, anybody who books, well, not every day, I guess it depends on when you come in, but yeah, if you have, you said predominantly it's been weekends, but so if I come in on Friday, I'm going to do beer class with you on Saturday.
Correct.
Right.
You're going to have breakfast at 9 and beer class at 10. And then all of the wineries and everything in the area opens around 11, 11:30.
Why would I want to go there? Shouldn't I just stay in the Coca-Cola barn and open the taps up?
And you won't be alone. We have many guests with us all day.
And we have a property Uber. It's the wheelbarrow that I'll take you back to your room if you need.
Right. Yeah. When you said that about all the places in the area, I thought, oh my gosh, I hope there are like bumpers on the guardrails there. Yeah. You know?
You made me shoot beer out my nose when you said that.
You might want to mention that you are having one of
years. Oh, yes. I happen to have a beautiful Oktoberfest currently while we're doing the podcast. And his Oktoberfest he makes with a roasted pumpkin seed. That's about as far as a pumpkin beer as we will go. We're not fans of the pumpkin pie beer trend. Mm-hmm. But with the nutty, roasted, salty in a beautiful Marzen, it's one of my very favorite seasonal beers.
Mm. I wish I was drinking one right now.
You do.
So anything else COVID-wise that you want to talk about? I mean, I know one of the things that you're doing differently that other innkeepers might want to think about is that you're starting in, 2021, you're no longer going to go with, you know, just renting by room. You're going to do, if you want to come, you have to rent the whole house, basically. Is that right?
That is correct. And I want to tell you, we have over 50% rebooking. We were nominated and won Best of the Blue Ridge. And that's the best B&B in like 14 states up and down the Blue Ridge Parkway. We love our guests. And I take sanitation and protecting their lives very seriously. And that being said, with the individual rooms, and we're taking temperatures and we're sanitizing and we're put in a whole house ventilation system, and, you know, we're doing that 4 hours a day, every day. And it's just not physically sustainable for me. And I worry so much. And I think that 2021, for the entire year, the best call, the best move for us to, and people that value our guests so much, is that the whole pod, take your insulated bubble and book the whole house and come. And come to beer class, and then I'm not in the house for, you know, going, you know, are you wearing your mask? Sanitizing, what did you touch? Where did you touch? You know, I think it's just the right call for the next year, because we don't know where this is going to go, and, you know, we all know we're in it for next year.
Yeah, and you've got quite the draw in terms of the beer side of it. I mean, you know, just thinking about, I could easily come up with four other couples that, you know, would want to do this more than that and would want to join you all for a weekend and experience the beer thing and just hang out. So I think you all have that draw with the beer thing.
I think you are correct. And part of our 50% rebooking, we will have some young couples come and they'll come and have such a fantastic time. We also have a big octagon hammock swing fire pit, and we bring growlers of our beer at the fire pit that we host. And, you know, and they say, oh, our parents would love this place. And they parents. And then we have couples our age that show up and they go, our adult kids would love this place. And then they send all their children.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up renting the place over and over again for family special events, family reunions, dad's 50th birthday, anniversary weekend. And we've become, we step over the line from innkeeper to friends rather quickly, sometimes within about 2 hours, if that long. And so we have the great honor of following all of these folks and seeing them getting married or their children getting married and grandkids coming in. And so they always want to come back and have a beer and celebrate the next stage of life with us.
It's a good way to have, like you say, have repeat bookings, which might be a good segue into our guest experience questions. Matt, I don't know where we are time-wise. I mean, I could talk beer all day ask about it.
Yes, I know. I'm with you. But yeah, I think we're good to run through the guest experience questions if Wildman and Terry are okay with that.
We're good. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. For all of our listeners, when we interview innkeepers, this is our chance to really pick their brain and get a sense of how they define the guest experience and lots of stuff that they're doing to support the guest experience. So these are kind of our canned questions that I will run through. And Terry and Wildman, here we go. So question number one is, how do you define guest experience and how important is it to your B&B, and what strategies or tactics do you use to address and improve it?
When we decided to open a B&B, the very first thing we did is we made a list, because we've been fortunate, we've traveled a bit, and we made a list of all the things we loved and all the things that we did not like. And we said, okay, here's our master list of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And from that, we crafted our mission statement, and it's just four little things that we want to do. And the first one was that each guest, we really focus on the little things that turn a visit into an experience. For example, I don't know if you've ever gone to a brewery and done a beer tour, and they're like, smell the hops, here's some grains, look at the stainless steel, and then you're out of there, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't go on another one of those, you know, no, just no. So we have crafted a 45-minute really informative beer class for a novice and for someone who's been brewing for a long time, right? So we made an experience. It's a little thing. It's included with your booking, but it's important, right? And then the other thing that was important to us is that all are welcome, intolerance and discrimination do not reside here. And that's in our mission statement.
That's awesome.
Hug and a beer, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
No exception. Okay. The other point, we have 4 points on our mission statement. And the other one is value each guest as an opportunity for our own personal growth and to make a connection and a lasting relationship. And with 50% rebooking, proving that is proof that we do that.
Absolutely.
I've been invited to more weddings and christenings and from our guests. Do you know how proud I am to drive and pop in? I usually only have a few minutes in my Wild Man Dan t-shirt and I hang in the back and I show up, right? And be part of the moment. And usually I have to leave and get back to the inn. Because weddings are always on weekends, right? I don't know. I think I would have a Tuesday wedding. What do you think, Dan? We can start a new trend. And then our fourth mission is just brew beer. That was it.
That's great. What an awesome, awesome mission there across the board on four different levels. Clearly, it's working very well for you all. And so the next question is, if you could get an hour of time with a leading expert/consultant in the B&B industry, what are the two or three most important questions you would like to ask them?
My background being 30 years in hotels and restaurants, I've had the good fortune of having a lot of professional insight. But if I could speak with a leading expert, I would ask them, how do we get guests to arrive on time and or communicate? That is a struggle. Funny.
That's a good one right there.
It's
That's
a
funny.
Good one,
yeah.
Right?
That's an interesting one, yeah.
I will take any recommendation.
I'm sure you're not alone. I'm sure that just about everybody, every innkeeper out there is wondering the same thing.
Wow. You know, even with COVID and just really these policies that I send on Monday, you know, a week before your arrival. And, you know, just this last week, I was on, you know, we had great old stone steps, but someone had spilled probably a beer. And I was on my hands and knees scrubbing a spill stain. And four vehicles show up, you know, a couple hours early. And I'm literally on my hands and knees scrubbing the front stoop, you know. Hi, how are you?
That's funny. But that's probably a good way to start a good relationship with them.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
That would be my number one question.
That's great. Okay, good. Well, our third and final question is, what is the percentage mix of guests that stay at your B&B based upon the following three age groups, and how are those percentages trending? So the first one is under 40. The second one is ages 40 and 60. And then the third group is over 60 years of age.
Way we would break that down is over 60 would be 10%. And then the other two groups are split 45 each.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So I'd say that you're probably, I'm guessing, you know, this is just anecdotal, but it sounds to me like getting younger folks, that you have a larger percentage of younger people, the under 40 crowd, than the average, if there is one, bed and breakfast.
Yeah. And that might be because of the area.
And the beer.
And the beer.
Could be because of the beer scene.
Yeah. Definitely and could, once, be, and, could be that.
And once you come, we get you for life.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, the nice thing about Nelson is there's craft beer, but there's also wine for the people who aren't drinking beer. It's cider and distilleries. And so.
Well, yeah, it's also true. Hiking the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah.
And we kayaking. Got some
great outdoor stuff. We're right here in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Correct. Right. Trout fishing. Mm.
Have you seen, so you've been doing this for about 6 years now, how are things trending, or has it always kind of been this kind of a mix?
For us, it's always been this kind of mix, and it's really interesting. We had a, you know, we had a group of, you know, you're talking five rooms, 10 people, right? We had a group, and it was two young couples, and when I say young, I mean, you know, in their 30s, right? Younger. And then two middle-aged couples, and then a couple that was in their 70s. And the entire group voted that they only wanted to come back if the guest that was in their 70s would return with them. They were the funniest. They were the most entertaining. These folks had such a great weekend together. And, you know, when you have a 70-year-old man say, I had no idea these young people were interested in spending so much time with me. And I just said, you're so funny and engaging and kind and interesting. They will not come back unless you're here.
I love it.
Right? How fantastic is that?
That's awesome.
They all ask to be notified. I have to email them when he books.
They're not stalking, are they?
Exaggerating.
You have to hire him as like a concierge or something.
Good, absolutely.
Oh, that's funny. That's pretty wild. Cool. Well, that's good. That definitely should help, you know, with some insight as far as, you know, innkeepers that listen to our podcast. Hopefully that will help. So, Matt, do you want to lead us home?
Sure. Well, Wild Man and Terry, here's our closer question we have for every podcast, which is a big one. Anything else to add or anything we may have missed today before we sign off?
The only thing I would say is that if your passion drives what you do, it'll come through. I love the root beer so much, and people recognize that, and they love the beer, and they just love being around.
And I love taking care of guests at the inn. And I'm very creative with my breakfast.
Making connections.
So it comes through. I mean, you can't fake it.
Nope.
Right? So we've run across people that said, oh, we want to open a B&B. And Dan and I look at each other because, you know, we just spent a weekend with you. And we're like, well, don't you have to like other human beings?
You know? That's a big part of it.
It would appear that that's a struggle for you.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
But I think the point that you're both making is passion, right? Find something you're passionate about, you know.
It doesn't have to be beer. You can bring something in else. Like you said, glass blowing, right? How cool is that? I would go stay at a B&B that I could also learn glass blowing.
Yeah. You know, something that, right? That either you've been doing as kind of a side thing that you love, you know, for a long time and you can leverage that, or maybe something you want to start getting into and you're passionate about learning and you know, you go far enough to say, okay, well, I've learned enough. Let me start sharing that with other people.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a huge draw. And look, like you say, look at what that's done with COVID and your ability to take a different route in 2021 and to rent the whole room or the whole house rather, instead of individual rooms. You're able to do that because you've got groups of people that are willing to come because of your niche, which is the beer thing. And yeah, as well as the fact that you've been taking care of them in a personal, real, you know, sincere personal way.
And I think you're right. The word sincere, I think people smell inauthenticity.
Make it up.
Oh, that's the beer.
Inauthentic. Inauthentic.
Even Steve's struggling with it. Yeah. And he's not even drinking.
I know. My goodness. But yeah, I hear you.
We embrace our imperfections. And we embrace our guests' imperfections as well.
All right. Awesome. Here, here. I'll drink to that.
All right.
I will too. I will too. And if it's all right with you all, I will take us out with our usual outro.
Go for it, man.
All right.
All right. Great. Well, our guests for this very special episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast were Wildman Dan Tatarka and his wife, Terry Tatarka, who are the owners and operators of Wildman Dan's beer-centric bed and breakfast, which is a B&B with a very, very cool on-site nano brewery, and they are located in the heart of Nelson County, Virginia. And we really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app. If you wish to learn more, please visit frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. And Wildman, Terry, and Steve, thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Cheers.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Cheers. Terry. We appreciate having you on. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers.